When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it.
Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves.
Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden.
If you are here and you feel dirty,
ashamed,
unworthy,
hopeless,
or unlovable,
don't run and hide. Don't lock yourself behind half-hearted singing
or wholehearted lunch dreaming.
Reach out to God.
Run to him. Seek him in your worship.
He isn't here to condemn, but to love.
Not to destroy, but to heal.
In this place, in this time, don't hide from God.
Seek him out. Search for him as we worship together.
Let's pray.
God, your power and your presence are all around us. You're in the sunshine at the beginning of each new day and in the stars we see at night.
We want to see your miracles. We want to feel the presence of your Holy Spirit.
Come into this worship service and fill our hearts. Reveal yourself to each of us as we pray and sing and meditate on you.
God, heal our hearts of shame and guilt. Make for us soul coverings so that we can commune with you.
Touch our lives in this place. Heal us and fill us with your worship.
Amen. Amen.
For those of you, am I on? For those of you who don't know me as well as others do, my name is Blake Johnson, and I would like to start this morning by sharing my story. I moved to Fresno, California just over 4 years ago and attended 6th through 9th grade. I was very comfortable there. I was very content. I played on the sports teams such as basketball and football, and I was in leadership positions such as class president for 2 years in a row. And to be honest, I wanted to graduate from Fresno Adventist Academy, and I was very happy with that. I like to think that God has many plans for people even when they don't see it coming. In February, my dad let us know that my grandfather that lived up here was battling cancer. My parents then introduced the possibility that we may move up here so that we could be closer to him. When I realized that this was going to be a reality, my heart sank. The friendships that I had built over the last 4 years are the ones that I would have liked to keep for life. Don't get me wrong, I was very excited to see my grandfather and how he was doing, but I was scared and nervous for what came next in my life, like making friends, fitting in, and feeling like I belonged here. When we arrived, it was all I could do to keep a smile on my face to make it seem like I was happy here. But inside, I just did that because I was terrified. But something incredible has happened. Over this last quarter of school, something hit me. People were going out of their way to make me feel welcome and comfortable. The staff and teachers were helping me on their own time, and they actually cared about me personally. And I have been able to truly open up, and I have felt God on campus in a large way. And although no school is perfect, I am glad to say that I am now part of this UCA family. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful opportunity that I have to stand up here and share with the people what you have to say. I ask you would calm my nerves and make what I say today not be from me, Lord, but from you. In your name I pray, amen. I have many passions in my life. And if you know me a little bit, you would know that most of these consist of something to do with physical activity. Water sports are something I like to do, and they get me really excited. But to be more specific, I love to wakeboard. I would like to share with you guys a story when I was learning how to wakeboard. I was living in the Southeast at the time, and I had a good friend named David. He had a boat, and we really wanted to learn how to wakeboard. So we went to a lake in Alabama, and our parents took us there, and we got up really early, and we hit the lake. At first, I was awful. It took me forever to be able to stand up. But after a while, I got good at that. And then I got good at moving around and going outside the wake. And as the day grew longer, I became more and more confident. So I had a wonderful idea. I was going to put on a little show for the people sitting in the boat. I got up, crossed over the wake, and went out as far as I could. I then looked back at the wake and made a beeline for it. I was going to attempt a jump. I hit the wake with a pretty decent amount of speed, and while I was being launched into the air, I began to immediately regret that decision. While I was in a sheer panic, I let go of the rope, connecting me to the boat and my source of power, which then left me hopeless and stranded in midair. And as for the landing, let's just say my face stung for a good while after. Let's take a look at my story and try to break down what went wrong. Yes, you could very well argue that I was not at the skill set to try a jump. But I want to ask a question and see if you agree with me that when I say the thing that ultimately doomed me was the fact that I let go of the rope. By doing that, I lost connection to my source of power and the thing that kept me up and out of the water. So if you've not yet figured out, this morning I'm going to be sharing with you guys about a strong connection with God. I feel like this is important because we all know that we need God and we know who he is, but we don't always have a strong relationship with him. Now I've asked my good friend Trey to come up and put a little drawing up on the whiteboard for a second. Now Trey, I need you to draw a picture of a boat pulling a wakeboarder. Don't worry, it doesn't need to look like Picasso drew it. I bet you'll do a beautiful job. But for real, we have to be done in time for lunch, so let's get this done. Now, I want to see if we can connect wakeboarding and turn it into a spiritual thing. Hang with me here. Let's say God can be the boat, and how about Jesus can be the rope? And when we make the connection and have a relationship with him, we can get up and wakeboard. But notice how when the boat is going and pulling you, there is a wake. And all we have to do to make this wake happen is be connected to the boat. So when the connection is made, we affect the people all around us just by being connected to the source of power or being connected to God. So let's take a look at this picture. Thank you very much, Trey. You may have a seat. So if you look at this beautiful work of art, you will know that a connection must be made to be able to wakeboard. But let's have a scenario. If you're wakeboarding and you're a beginner and a large boat passes by, that large boat is going to put off a big wake, correct? If you're a beginner, wouldn't you say it'd be difficult to stay up and connected when that wave hits you? I would like to say that it's easier to stay up when there's trials in our life, the more we spend time and the better connection we have with God. So what we have to do then is spend more time with God and communicate with him so then we can be ready for those events in our life. So let's say we have a guy named Billy, and he has had a crush on this girl named Sally for as long as he can remember. They have been friends ever since elementary school. But Billy wants to ask Sally to be his girlfriend. He finally builds up the courage, and so he makes a plan. He's going to ask Sally to go bowling with him. He has it all planned out in his head, like what he's going to wear, what snacks he wants to bring that taste good but don't make his breath smell, and he has probably rehearsed what he's going to say over 100 times in the mirror. Billy is extremely nervous, but the night grows longer, and so he finally builds up the courage, and he takes Sally outside, and he asks her to be his girlfriend. To Billy's surprise, she says yes. He is so overjoyed that he hugs Sally, but don't worry, it's an A-frame hug, of course. Billy goes to all his friends and brags about his new girlfriend. They talk, and they're giving him pats on the back. Good job, bro. But in reality, Billy and Sally haven't even talked since they became a couple. They expected that they would be able to have a relationship without trying. And in the end, they had to break up. Because neither of them was making an effort to make the relationship last. They failed to have a strong connection. How many people here have been in a relationship or currently are in a relationship? Let me see your hands. All right, so quite a few of you. Let me ask you a question. If you had your partner and you would never talk to them or communicate with them, how long would that relationship last? The answer is it wouldn't last. Because if you do not make a personal effort to talk to this person, there's no communications being made, and you can't meet their needs. In public, you may say you're a couple, but behind doors, you know it's not going to last. If we are being honest with ourselves, do you think we can say this happens all the time with us and God? We accept Him as our God, and we know what He's done for us, but we leave it at that, instead of actually putting forth an effort to have a legit relationship with Him. In Revelation 3:20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and he with me." So right there, it lets us know that God is trying to get that connection with us, but we have to step out in faith and let Him in and make it our job to have a relationship with Him. But now that we know we need a relationship and connection with Him, you may ask me, how do I get one? I feel like the answer is a simple one. You talk to Him. If you were to meet a new person, you aren't going to get to know them on a personal level unless you make the time and the effort to go and talk to them. Going back to the verse I just used, it lets us know that God is right there waiting for us. We have to then make the effort and carve out the time for Him. And ultimately, we have to make sure we aren't being tempted and distracted, because the devil is a master at getting us to use our time for stuff we didn't intend to go for. In just a little bit, you're going to hear from Lauren as she talks about what happens once we get connected. So I challenge you, as I close my talk, to guard your hearts and make it your utmost priority to get that connection with God, so then, when we are ready, we can get up and wakeboard. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful Sabbath day you've provided for us. I ask you to be with Lauren right now, calm her nerves, help her to do good, Lord, and send her and fill this place with your Holy Spirit. In your name I pray, amen.
Happy Sabbath. I'm Lauren, as Blake was saying, and I'm a sophomore with him. And I'd like to just give a word of prayer before I start. Heavenly Father, we invite you in here today, welcoming your presence, and we ask that you come into each of our hearts and help us to love each other and take in these words. And please speak through me, God. In your name I pray. Amen. Who do you connect yourself to? Or what do you connect yourself to? These are some very important questions because they have a major influence on your life. How you talk, what you do. So many things can be affected by something so simple. What are you letting in? Or more importantly, who are you letting in? As Blake was saying, Jesus wants to be connected to us. We just have to work at that relationship. But how crazy is it that the creator of everything, of the heavens, of the seas, of the mountains, wants us. He wants us sinful human beings so badly that He sent His Son to die for us on a cross just because He loves us. Why don't you want to have someone that awesome in your life? When you surround yourself with people who gossip or lie or do things against God's will for your life and how he's called you to live, you're setting yourself up for failure because you start to act like them. As Proverbs 13:20 says, whoever walks with the wise become wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. God wants us to be connected to good people and good things in our life, but our main source of power should always be him. He changes your life. And Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is acceptable, good, and perfect. He wants the very best for you. He is all-knowing. Even if you think you know everything, God always knows more. And I'm so glad that he does. He knows every heart, every word, every action, and he cares. He cares about it all. When you guys were younger, if you ever lied or said anything bad, did your parents ever wash your mouth out with soap or do something to get you to not do that anymore? Yeah, it kind of sucks sometimes, but they don't want you to be like that. In our Vespers last night, we were talking about how you don't want to be that friend that lies or is dishonest or is rude. So it's your parents who help you to begin to develop the good virtues that you can have. God is our Holy Father, and he wants us, as our Holy Father, to cultivate the good things in life and not have to have the consequences of the bad choices that we make. When we are connected to God, so many beautiful things come out of this relationship. You've probably heard about the fruits of the Spirit, but just listen to them. These things are God's gifts to us if we just spend time and are connected to him. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-25. In Titus 3, chapter 3, verse 4, it says, but then the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared. If you read a little more on the text of Titus, as Paul is writing, it talks about how they were mean and hateful. They were disobedient, foolish, slaves to their various passions and pleasures. But then the kindness and love of our God, our Savior, appeared. If you allow God to come into your life and come to the door and you let him appear, he's going to change you. He'll make you new again. Who here likes soccer? Yeah, I know the guys at Fall Classic did really, really well. And it was so much fun to watch them play. However, I am not that talented. I used to play in a rec soccer league for fun, and I enjoyed it. It was good. But I remember one game. We were playing, and it was getting to the very end of the game, and we were guarding our goal, and the other team had a corner shot coming for us. And I was so ready. I was ready to guard it, and I was going to send it right back the other side of the field. And as I'm preparing to come, the ball comes flying at me, hits my shoulder, and goes right into our own goal. And I just stare at the goal for like a minute as the rest of the team comes, and the other team comes and thanks me for all my hard work and congratulating me on helping them with this game. And all the rest of the time, the whole game, I couldn't think. I could only think about my team saying, don't get it into our goal, Lauren. Don't take it down the wrong side of the field. And it consumed me. It consumed my thoughts that I forgot about all the things I should be doing in the game. I should be passing and shooting. All I could think about was, don't get it into the goal. Don't get it into the goal. But God wants us to work on the good things. He doesn't want us to focus on the don'ts in our life. We get so caught up in these that we forget about the do's. At the beginning of the Bible, God had one rule: don't eat from the tree of good and evil. But then, as humans, we disobeyed that. And throughout, later in the Bible, God keeps having to create more rules for us. He created, and one jumped to 10, and 10 jumped to 500. And it was just because us as humans were becoming increasingly worse. And as more of them populated, the more we thought we could do. But God wants us to work on the good things that we can be for others and not be so consumed by this list of don'ts that we forget why we're playing this game. But remember, we are saved by grace through faith. It is not our actions that save us, though sometimes we like to think it is. Our Christian growth, our sanctification is through Christ Jesus' help. We tend to look to self for strength rather than the one who has unlimited strength. We think we can do it all, but we really need Jesus. When we become connected to God by spending time with Him and surrounding ourselves with good things, we become like them, cultivating good personal virtues like patience, hard work, honesty, servanthood, contentment, and thankfulness. Since you become like the people you hang out with, wouldn't that work with Jesus? He is the light of the world, and His love shines down on us, and we reflect the light to everyone, bringing their eyes back to the original source of light. This world is becoming a very dark and bad place, and we don't notice it here with our everyday luxuries, all the things we take for granted. It isn't affecting us right now, so it must be irrelevant, right? But people are dying. Loved ones are getting torn apart. It's all real. Countries are being war-torn. Towns are crumbling. And with how rapidly this world is getting worse and worse, we need a lot more mirrors reflecting Jesus. I know it's easy. Easy to get caught up in all the worldly ways that keep us sucked in. All the movies we watch when they say they have no effect on us, the music we listen to, the things we say. We need to be careful. But when you have Jesus in your life, it starts to get easier. I'm not saying life will get easier, but I'm warning you, the life of a Christian can be very, very hard, but Jesus is worth it. He's so worth it. And God is calling us to a life that is greater and that is way bigger than anything we could have in mind for ourselves. I'm going to tell you a story about a boy named Zach. One day, Zach was walking home from school, and he saw this boy who was carrying all of his books. And he was like, why does he take all of his books home? Who does that? He's kind of nerdy looking. He's fumbling all around. And then all of a sudden, he just drops them everywhere. And then just as this group of these popular guys were walking past, Zach got really nervous, but he ran up to help him immediately. He was like, oh, I hope they don't notice me. I hope they don't notice me. But as he was helping him picked up, he got to talking with him, and he found out his name was Timothy. So he offered to walk Timothy's books home with him, and as they were talking, Zach started to realize, hey, Timothy's not too bad, actually. He's actually a pretty fun guy. And then Timothy invited Zach into his house, and then over their high school years, they started to kind of hang out more and more and became pretty good friends. Well, at their graduation, Timothy became their valedictorian, and afterwards, after his speech and after they had all thrown their caps in the air, Timothy pulled Zach aside and said, thank you. And Zach kind of looked at him weird. He was like, what? What did I do? I didn't get anything for you. I didn't do anything. And Timothy just said, you saved my life. The one day when I was walking home from school, I was carrying all my books so that I wouldn't leave a mess for people when I went home that night to kill myself. And the reason I didn't was because you showed me all the wonderful things that life had to offer just by being kind. We don't always know the effect we have on people, but God does. And He wants us to follow His will for our life so that we can be that light to others, so that when we are connected to Him, we can show others who He is. 1 Corinthians 13 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I'll just give you a quick summary about the whole thing. It's the love chapter. At the beginning of this chapter, it talks about how if you don't have love, what's the point? If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries, all knowledge, and have all faith so as to move mountains, but I have not love, then I am nothing. And as the chapter goes on, it starts to talk about what love really is, what it acts like. It is patient, it is kind, it doesn't envy or boast, not arrogant or rude. But then at the very end, it talks, the very last closing verse says, "So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love." God is love. His entire being is love, and he gives us it so freely in such a beautiful and merciful way. And if we're called to be like him, we should be encompassed with love. We should be reflecting him just as he is reflecting to us. We are called to be kind, to be patient, good, gentle, loving. And the more time you spend with someone like that, like Jesus, the more you become like that. Wouldn't you want to be like Jesus? So love deeply, love willingly, and love him. Happy Sabbath.